46. To his niece, Sofia Alexandrovna. Florence, January the 25th, February the 6th, 1869. My dear, good and valued friend Sonichka, I did not at once answer your last letter, undated, and nearly died of conscience pangs, therefore, because I love you very much. But it was not my fault, and it shall be different in future. Regularity in our correspondence henceforth depends wholly on you. I shall from now onward answer each of your letters the same day I receive it, but as every letter from Russia is now an event to me, and deeply moves me, yours always in the most delightful sense, do write, if you love me, as often as you possibly can. I have not answered you for so long because I put off all business and even the most important letters until I had finished the novel. Now it is done at last. I worked at the concluding chapters by day and by night in the deepest anxiety and amid great torment of mind. A month ago I wrote to the Ruski Vestnik, asking them to postpone the appearance of the December number for a little while and so make it possible for me to bring out the conclusion of my book this year. I swore that I would deliver the last lines by the 15th of January, by our style. But what happened? I had two attacks, and therefore was obliged to overstep by 10 days the term which I had myself fixed. They can only today, January the 25th, have received the last two chapters. You can easily imagine how much perturbed I have been by the thought that they might lose patience, and, as they had not received the end by the 15th, might let the number appear without the novel. That would be terrible for me. In any case, they must be infuriated. I was in dire need and had to write to Katkov for money. The climate of Florence is perhaps even more unfavourable to my health than that of Milan or Vevey. The epileptic attacks return more frequently. Two, with an interval of 6 days, have brought about this delay of 10 days. Besides, it rains too much in Florence, though in fine weather it is real paradise here. One can imagine nothing lovelier than this sky, this air, and this light. For a fortnight it was somewhat cool, and as the houses here are poorly equipped, we froze during that fortnight like mice in a cellar. But now I have my work behind me and am free. This work, which took a year, carried me away so completely that I have not yet been able to collect my thoughts. The future is to me an enigma. I don't even yet know what I shall decide to do. However, I shall have to make up my mind to something. In 3 months we shall have been exactly 2 years abroad. In my opinion, it is worse than deportation to Siberia. I mean that quite seriously. I'm not exaggerating. I cannot understand the Russians abroad. Even though there is a wonderful sky here, and though there are, as for example in Florence, literally unimaginable and incredible marvels of art, there are lacking many advantages which, even in Siberia, as soon as I left the prison, made themselves evident to me. I mean especially home and the Russians, without which and whom I cannot live. Perhaps you may experience this yourself one day, and then you'll see that I don't exaggerate in the least. And yet my immediate future is still hidden from me. My original positive plan has for the moment broken down. I say positive, but naturally all my plans, like those of any man who possesses no capital and lives only by his own toil, are associated with risks and dependent on many attendant circumstances. I hope that I shall succeed in bettering my finances by the second edition of the novel and then returning to Russia. But I'm dissatisfied with the book, for I haven't said a tenth part of what I wanted to say. Nevertheless, I don't repudiate it, and to this day I love the plan that miscarried. But in fact, the book is not showy enough for the public taste. The second edition will, therefore, even if it comes off at all, bring in so little that I can't reckon on it for any new arrangements. While I'm here in this foreign land besides, I know nothing of what reception the book had in Russia. Just at first I was sent some cuttings, full of ecstatic praise, but lately, never a word. The worst of it is that I don't know anything either about the views of the Ruski Vyestnik people. Whenever I've asked them for money, they've sent it by return of post, from which I'm inclined to draw a favourable conclusion. But I may be mistaken. Now, Maikov and Strahov write from Petersburg that a new journal, Saria, has been started, with Strahov as editor. They sent me the first number and begged for my collaboration. I promised it, but I'm hindered by my long connection with the Ruski Vyestnik. It is always better to stay with the same paper. And by the fact that Katkov gave me an advance of 3,000 rubles before I came abroad. And I owe the editorial staff a good deal besides, for, together with the first 3,000, I have gradually borrowed in all about 7,000 rubles, so that on that ground alone I can at present work for no other paper but the Ruski Vyestnik. On their answer to my request for more money, all now depends. But even if they answer favourably, my position will remain most uncertain. I must at all costs get back to Russia. For here I am losing all power to write, for not having the, to me, essential material at hand, that is to say, Russian actualities, from which I draw my ideas, and Russian people. Every moment I'm obliged to look up something, or make inquiries about something, and know not where to turn for it. I am now dallying with the idea of a gigantic novel, which in any event, even should it miscarry with me, must be very effective by reason of its theme alone. That theme is atheism. It is not an indictment of the now prevalent convictions, but something quite different, a real story. What it has to do is to take the reader captive even against his will. Of course, I shall have to study hard for it. Two or three important characters I have already got into extraordinary perspective. Among others, a Catholic enthusiast and priest, something like St. François Xavier. But I can't possibly write it here. I should most assuredly be able to sell the second edition of this work and make much money thereby. But when? Not before 2 years. Don't tell anyone about this idea. In the meantime, I must write something else for daily bread. All this is most depressing. Some change must absolutely take place in my situation. But from what quarter is it to arrive? You are right, my dear, when you say that I should be able to make money much more easily and quickly in Russia. And as a matter of fact, I am now meditating two ideas for publications. One would demand much work and would entirely preclude all idea of simultaneous occupation with a novel, but might bring in much money, of that I have no doubt. The other is pure compilation and almost mechanical. It is an idea for an annually appearing large and universally useful volume of about 60 sheets of small print, which would be widely bought and would come out every January. This idea I won't as yet disclose, for it is too safe and too valuable. The profits are beyond doubt. My work would be purely editorial. All the same, it would require some ideas and much special knowledge, and this work would not prevent me from doing a novel at the same time. I shall need collaborators therein, and shall think of you first of all. I shall need translators, too. And, of course, on the understanding that profits shall be shared in proportion to the work done. You will earn 10 times as much as you now get for your work. I can say, without boasting, that I've already, in the course of my life, had many a good literary idea. I have suggested them to different editors, and to Kraevsky also, and my dead brother. Each one that has been carried out has proved highly lucrative. so I am building on these latest notions. But the chief thing is this next big novel. If I don't write it, it will torment me to death. But I can't write it here. And neither can I return to Russia until I have paid at least 4,000 rubles of my debts, and have besides in my possession 3,000 rubles, so as to be able to exist through the first year. Thus 7,000 altogether. But enough of me and my tiresome affairs. One way or another, some sort of an end must come, else I shall die of it all. Your ever-loving Fyodor Dostoevsky. P.S. My address is Florence, Poste Restante. I hear that an enormous lot of letters get lost.